This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner.
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, right, the touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
Oh, we got the geek slash guru back in the open, huh?
I was there last week.
Oh, I thought it wasn't. I thought we...
It wasn't Christina saying.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't feel the same, you know? I mean, I'm a geek, regardless of who's talking about it. I got three fantasy leagues going, trying to balance them all. I'm a geek. I have a well-rounded life, fairly well-rounded life, but I'm a fantasy geek, no question about it. So I'm not offended by that, Jason. I was just curious. I thought we took it out, but...
No, I just took out her saying it because it was done last year.
Gotcha. We need someone else then, huh?
We could take a recorder and go find random people to
that
go.
Might not be a bad idea. Maybe I'll do that at Giant Stadium Sunday.
There you go.
Not a bad idea. Well, welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown for this Thursday, week number 2 on the NFL calendar. My name is Brian Lowe here bringing you the fantasy news and storylines of the week past and the week ahead. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address. We are email driven. We love to hear from you. Chime in with your questions on who to start and who to sit this week. Last week at this time, we were 3.5-4 hours away from the season opener between Pittsburgh and Tennessee. So a lot of you had question marks on, well, I got a Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, or do I start Tennessee's defense, this and that. Certainly questions that had to be addressed right off the bat. This time, a little more breathing room. We'll have a little more breathing room on these Thursday shows, really, until around Thanksgiving when the league resumes those Thursday games. But a lot to get to. I jot down all kinds of notes of different fantasy topics to get to, there certainly are a lot of them. We already have a few emails in the inbox. We definitely want to hear from you as well. If anything comes up as we get the show rolling here and you have your questions that just need to be answered, we definitely want to hear from you. So send them in, webradio@patriots.com. You can also call us at 508-543-7482. Among the big topics last week, a couple of quarterback situations that certainly come to mind, and we'll start there. We'll start with quarterbacks, Philadelphia and Carolina. One of them an injury concern, one of them just a flat out abysmal performance that's raising a lot of red flags, and these are raising red flags for their actual teams and for fantasy owners. Starting with Philadelphia, Donovan McNabb leaves the game, and he had already had a pretty solid afternoon against Carolina. Really, everybody in Philadelphia had a solid afternoon against Carolina, and McNabb threw 2 touchdown passes in that game. He goes out with a rib injury, and the question now becomes, in the wake of, with Michael Vick still at least a week away, is Kevin Kolb the replacement? How is he going to fare as a fantasy quarterback? And then they bring in Jeff Garcia. Who's going to play? Who's going to start? Those are the questions out there in Philadelphia. Donovan McNabb could still be available. What they're saying pretty much is McNabb and the Eagles are holding out hope that he'd be available on Sunday. But if he doesn't practice by Friday, most likely Kevin Kolb will jump in there. So Kevin Kolb is definitely a guy that is probably being picked up on waiver wires all throughout fantasy leagues, nationwide, worldwide, wherever you are. The question is, how effective is he going to be? You know, last year when Tom Brady went down with a season-long injury in week 1 and we knew Brady wasn't going to be back, Matt Castle could not have been any more of an unknown guy in his NFL actual playing ability and for fantasy. He turned out to be a pretty good player. Kevin Kolb, I don't really have too much hope that if he's a short-term fill-in for a week or two, that he's going to do much for you in these coming weeks. I wouldn't go too far out of my way. If you have a free agent budget, I wouldn't go spend too much of a percentage on Kevin Kolb because, if he was given a full year, maybe he'd be worth the investment, and by week 3, 4, 5, he'd be all right. I don't see him doing much this week, but then again, I don't really feel comfortable starting Donovan McNabb if I had him because it seems more likely than not that he won't play on Sunday. Definitely something to monitor. We look at Carolina, Jake Delhomme. He's given a massive contract extension in the offseason, which came immediately after a terrible postseason performance for Carolina and a big letdown game for the Panthers, and he comes out and throws 4 interceptions in Carolina's opener against Philadelphia. And it just raises a ton of questions. How long can Jake Delhomme last as the Carolina QB? How long can you keep him in your fantasy lineup? I think the answer to that is not long on either one. They bring in A.J. Feely. You don't bring in a guy who is a legit backup and potential fill-in starter after week one for non-injury reasons if your regular starter isn't on the brink of being taken out of the lineup. Jake Delhomme, if you have him in your lineup, you want to remove him immediately. I don't see any reason why Jake Delhomme, I don't see any signs that Jake Delhomme is going to turn it around, even though if you hear from them, they think he will, and they're going to stick by him. I think we're going to see A.J. Feely in there sometime soon. Now, I could be wrong. Jake Delhomme could play this week and completely turn it around as they face Atlanta. In Atlanta, I just don't see it. So those were two big quarterback situations. As we look at some of the prime performers at the quarterback position from week one, it really starts with Drew Brees, and there is not even a remotely close second place when it comes to best week of the season at quarterback. 358 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception for Drew Brees against the lowly Detroit Lions. He must have been licking his chops for months as he saw the schedule in week one against the Lions. What an unbelievable performance for Brees. He throws 2 touchdown passes to Jeremy Shockey, which had to be what a surprise for Shockey owners after Shockey went touchdownless last year. A few other studs at quarterback, a bunch of guys who had 3 touchdown passes. Tony Romo really lit up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 353 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. I was sort of wrong on Romo. I sort of rated him a little lower than a lot of other people had Romo going into this year. Another one who, hey, the Buccaneers' defense is not very good. And I actually think highly of the Bills' offense coming into this weekend against the Buccaneers. Romo was able to light him up, an 80-yard touchdown pass to Patrick Creighton, Roy Williams in on the action, Miles Austin as well. So a great performance for Romo. Joe Flacco, 307 yards and 3 touchdowns, also a pick, but a pretty solid, really a better effort, better numbers than he had all of last year. And then Matt Hasselbeck, who was really one of my sleeper picks going into last year. I thought he'd really start this season strong coming off his injury and going against the St. Louis Rams. 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks for him. Other big-time performers, at least in the yardage category, of course, Tom Brady, 378 yards, 2 touchdowns. Those 2 touchdowns coming in the final couple minutes. We don't have to get too much into the Patriots game against the Bills, how unbelievable it was. But really, by the second half, they were passing pretty much exclusively. So Brady able to pick up 378 yards and 2 touchdowns. Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, both also topped the 300-yard mark. Roethlisberger, 363 yards. They each threw a touchdown, and Roethlisberger had 2 picks in that game. And then a bunch of other guys with 200-yard games and several others with 2 touchdowns. The only guy, I believe, who had more than – I'm sorry, 2 guys who had more than 2 interceptions in their games were – Jake Delhomme and Jay Cutler, a big-time disappointing night for Jay Cutler. 4 interceptions, 277 yards passing. Not what anyone was hoping for or looking for out of him in his first game as a Chicago Bear. So there are a few quarterback storylines as we get the ball rolling. Joe Flacco, I mentioned, that was a very impressive performance against Kansas City. And for him, going against the Kansas City team, that's really sort of in transition. It'll be a big test for him going into San Diego this week. You don't want to sit him because I think a guy like that, he's got a lot of confidence from last year. San Diego's defense, they allowed Oakland to score some points and get some big touchdowns. So I think Flacco might be in for a decent game this week. Also wanted to bring up Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez with a really solid outing. I think you can look at his outing more in terms of that was a good for his football development. Fantasy-wise, better than you would have expected. 1 touchdown, 1 interception, close to 300 yards. So that was pretty good for him. We're definitely going to get to some hit on each of the positions as we go forward, but I'd like to sprinkle in the emails as we get them in. And like I said, we already had a few. So let's get to the first email we have. This is from Steve in Sydney, Australia. Hi, B-Lo and Doctor. Of course, our esteemed producer, Jason Dvorkin, Doctor. I'm the manager of Steve Spanners in your PFW Fantasy League. We will get to that, too. And being new to fantasy football and seeing as how I got my bum kicked in round one, I figure I need some help. Boy, Steve, you're going to a competitor. In fact, 2 competitors for help. You really going to trust me? We're competing here, Steve. But, hey, I'll do my best. Here's his question. With regard to wide receivers, is Mark Clayton a genuine option to start each week, or do you think his round one performance was a one-off? Is he likely to be a favored target for Joe Flacco this year? I'm also worried about Matt Schaub's start, but don't really have any options since I've got Jake Delhomme as my backup. Is it worth trying to pick up someone else instead of either of those guys? Any sleeper QBs you think are worth a go? See you in round 7. Okay, I guess Steve and I go in round 7. I hadn't looked that far ahead. I go week to week here, Steve. But let's go to your questions. Is Mark Clayton a genuine option to start each week, or is his round 1 performance a one-off? Is he going to be a favored target for Joe Flacco this year? Here's what I think. I don't think Flacco's numbers every week are going to be as good as they were this week. And I think they're the type of offense, sort of similar to the New York Giants, where I don't know if there's going to be one guy I'd rely on. I think Mark Clayton is more of a matchup guy at this point, along with a lot of the Baltimore receivers. I don't know if there's one guy I feel really strongly about going into this week against San Diego. It depends on who your other options are. Don't get rid of him. Don't think he won't have big weeks. I just don't think he's going to be a consistent starter every week, because I just don't think the Baltimore offense, the passing offense, is going to be as consistent. Flacco will be good. His numbers will be better than they were last year. Don't bank on Clayton every single week. Your question about quarterbacks. I'm worried about Matt Schaub's start, but don't really have any options since I've got Jake Delhomme as my backup. I would look into some other QBs. Matt Schaub, what a disappointing effort for him and the entire Houston offense the other day against the Jets. The Jets really one of the surprise teams, certainly in week one. Do I have any sleeper quarterbacks? Matt Hasselbeck's not a sleeper anymore. I was high on him last week, but he's certainly not a sleeper. My sleeper for this week, if he's available, would be Trent Edwards. He's probably not available. It's not like Trent Edwards was completely under the radar. They're going against the Buccaneers this week. He's going to light up the Buccaneers at home. I think the Buffalo offense is going to implode eventually this year. But when the weather is still warm, they have their home opener in Buffalo, coming off a bitter disappointment against the Patriots the other day. I think they're primed for a big week. So Trent Edwards would be one guy. Other than that, Sean Hill. Sean Hill is really sneaking up. I was high on him last year when he was filling in San Francisco. Look into Sean Hill. He goes against Seattle this week. Maybe not the best matchup, but as a more of a deep sleeper, I think Sean Hill is a guy that you could look into. So there you go, Steve and Sydney. I don't know if you're going to trust me or not. We're competitors, but I appreciate you emailing in. I wish you luck. Don't want to see you get your butt kicked every single week. But like you said, in week 7, that's that one I'm aiming for.
See me get my butt kicked every week.
Well, it's funny you mention that, Jason. It's funny you mention wanting to see your butt get kicked every week, because, boy, week 1, your butt got kicked.
I got to tell you, I was looking more toward the real game on Monday than the fantasy game that was happening in my head.
Sure, because it's not like you had any time before Monday to set your lineup, maybe make some free agent moves early on.
I set my lineup while I was in here with you on Thursday.
Well, it's a good time to do it.
And that was the last time I looked at it.
Well, there's your mistake. Lock can happen.
It's my fault.
Lock can happen. Well, we don't want to see that.
Congratulations, Jason, to the generators.
Yeah, you lost 139-83, Jason. Sometimes, like in the NFL matchups, you go up against a team, the generators, who had 139 points, the best in our league for that week. You're 83. You would have beaten, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4. You would have beaten 5 other teams, so it's not like you had an embarrassing performance. Now that I look closely, I'm sure it's trying to build up your confidence here a little bit, Jason.
I don't need it. I don't need to go 16-0.
Well, I still have the ability to go 16-0. I happen to win 107-72.
You're going to lose when you blame me. Steve,
we said, it's funny you mentioned, and you brought this up, Jason.
I did.
You brought this up about getting your butt kicked. Cormac from Ireland emails in, and before we get to his 5 questions, let me just jump to the end. Finally, Brian, just a shout-out to Doctor. My girlfriend Jenny beat out the Docs team by like 40 points in the PFW Fantasy Football League. Her team is the Generators. So I just wanted to let Doc know that, the next line is in all caps, he was beaten by a girl. Now, I'm not sexist. You can win or lose to a girl. This is just from Cormac. You got beaten by a girl, Jason.
Tell Cormac I want to see a picture.
You just told him. You just told him. This is radio. You just told him. Anyways, let's get to Cormac's email. Cormac, we kid, Jason. I'm sure
I kid too, Cormac.
I'm sure Doctor's Medicine will rebound. Who do you play in week 2, Doctor's Medicine? It's not me, is it? Oh, you play the team that I just beat. SI Outtakes. You've got a chance. Okay, Cormac says, hope you're well. Could use your considerable expertise, don't know about that, on some queries below. My first problem.
You're lying your ass off.
My first problem is I've got 5 different teams in 5 leagues, so it's a drain on my brain. Cormac, I can relate. I got three. It's a drain on my brain, too, but just balance. Let's just try to have some balance. Treat each league equally. That's all you got to do. Anyway, on to the rest of my issues. Let's take these one by one. Number one, two flex positions on one team. One wide receiver running back, one wide receiver tight end. Which two would you choose from these? Felix Jones, Stephen Smith, Sean Moreno, or Lewis Murphy? Stephen Smith, obviously the Giants, not the Carolina Panthers. So two of those four you can take. Here's the thing. Of those two running backs, Felix Jones and Sean Moreno, I feel a little better, believe it or not, about Moreno this week. And we're going to get to these running backs, mostly just because of the matchup. Denver hosts Cleveland, not a team that I think highly of as far as their defense. We saw what Adrian Peterson did last week to Cleveland. Not that I think Moreno's Adrian Peterson, but I feel a little better about Moreno. Felix Jones against the Giants D, that's a tougher matchup, and you know, he's not their number one guy. I'd probably lean toward Moreno among those running backs. And as far as the wideouts, Smith or Murphy, Steve Smith of the Giants, kind of like what we were saying about Clayton with the Ravens, just too early. We need to see more than just 1 week, especially now with Hakeem Nicks out. Who among these Giants wideouts is really going to step up? I wouldn't feel uncomfortable using Steve Smith. I just wouldn't be all that confident. Lewis Murphy, that's an intriguing guy, because if he gets a little bit of rhythm with Jamarcus Russell, and Jamarcus Russell needs anybody he can find to get some rhythm, I like him. If I had to choose right now, I'd go with the rookies this week, Lewis Murphy and Sean Moreno. Number two from Cormac, wide receiver. Number three question is, this is what he says, I have choices of Hester, Mason, or Braylon Edwards on my team. Also, I could pick up Justin Gage, Lance Moore, Lewis Murphy, or Steve Smith and drop one of the first three. What would you recommend? Hester, Mason, and Edwards. I'm not sure exactly among these if you're looking to start one or pick up one of the others. I'm high on Justin Gage, not too high on Lance Moore, because, you know, as good as that New Orleans offense is, I think he might seem like he's starting to get a little lost in the shuffle there. Lewis Murphy, like I said, like as a sleeper. Steve Smith, wait a little bit on. I wouldn't drop those three yet. I think if you take all of these guys, Hester, Mason, and Braylon Edwards, disappointed with Edwards, but I'd definitely hang on to him. Derek Mason, if I had to say which one of the guys from Baltimore is the number one guy, I'd probably say Mason. And Devin Hester is way too intriguing at this point to get rid of. If you wanted to get rid of one of the three, it might be Hester, and I'd go Justin Gage among those four as far as who you wanted to pick up. He's really might be the number one option in Tennessee. Number three question from Cormac. I've got Zach Miller set to start. Should I pick up Dustin Keller and drop Miller? No, I'd probably say no. I'd probably stick with Zach Miller. If you can bring in Dustin Keller to boost up your tight ends, that wouldn't be bad. But, you know, Zach Miller going against Kansas City this week, not a bad matchup. Next question. On one team, I've got two wide receivers. For the second wide receiver spot, I would normally go with DeSean Jackson, but with McNabb out, should I go with Steve Smith, Coles, or Burleson? Also, I could pick up Lewis Murphy if you thought that might be worthwhile in the long term. Again, I do think Murphy's worthwhile in the long term as a sleeper. Like I said, if you get some chemistry with Jamarcus Russell. As far as the others, you know, Smith, Coles, or Burleson, maybe Burleson this week. DeSean Jackson, much better as a punt returner than a wideout so far, and I agree with you on McNabb being out. Maybe go Burleson if you can pick him up. On my final team, I have Jason Campbell on the bench. Would I play him instead of Warner, whom I normally would start? No way. Keep Kurt Warner. Even if Kurt Warner doesn't have a classic Kurt Warner game, between Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Steve Breston, you got enough weapons there. The jury is still out on Jason Campbell. Anyways, Cormac, thank you very much for emailing. We appreciate it. And, you know, good luck to your girlfriend's team. She's already got Doctor's team out of the way, but good luck with the generators as we go forward.
Easy.
Boy, Jason, you know, are you getting a little defensive here, I think?
No.
Okay. All right. Why don't we move on to some more running back notes? One of the things that crossed my mind was how poor the big three rookie running backs did this week. At least the rookie running backs who are most, Donald Brown, Sean Moreno, Beanie Wells, the guys in the first round, the guys that are taken early. Leading into this year, what I was really interested in was, could this year's crop of rookie running backs match what last year's crop of rookie running backs did? You know the guys, Steve Slayton, Matt Forte, Chris Johnson, Jonathan Stewart. The answer after week one is definitely no, although, hey, it's just week one. There's a lot we can get to for these guys. Donald Brown, 33 yards as he splits time with Joseph Addai. Sean Moreno, battling an injury, only 19 yards. Beanie Wells, only 29. These are guys who are probably might not become number one running backs this year. I'm not saying get rid of any of them, but a little bit of a disappointment there. What was equally disappointing was that last year's aforementioned rookie running backs also seemed to have disappointing games this week. Steve Slayton, I think he had 17 rushing yards. That's terrible. Matt Forte, 55 yards rushing, no catches. Everyone thought he might be a guy that catches some balls out of the backfield from Jay Cutler. Didn't do any of that. Chris Johnson in the opener a week ago, 57 yards rushing. And Jonathan Stewart, 35 yards rushing. Just crossed my mind, just hit me as, wow, that's kind of a disappointment as far as these running backs are concerned. And, you know, other guys who didn't have good games as running backs this week, Willie Parker, poor performance. Larry Johnson, poor performance. On the other hand, you had a big surprise in Mike Bell, who filled in for Pierre Thomas. Now, a note on Pierre Thomas that I saw just before the show today. Pierre Thomas was limited in practice on Thursday for the New Orleans Saints. He's probably going to go into the game questionable. He says he's full go. The question is, how much do you trust that, and do you go with Mike Bell? You probably go with Mike Bell this week. That's what I would say. As we look at some of the leaders at running back last week, much like with Drew Brees at quarterback, it really starts and ends with Adrian Peterson. What a tremendous performance. 180 yards and 3 touchdowns for him against the Cleveland Browns in their opener. Just a dominant performance. And guess who he goes against this week? The Detroit Lions. You think he's going to shred him up? You think he's going to shred them up? They had the worst run defense in the league last year. Really the worst everything. So Adrian Peterson probably licking his chops. The Jones brothers, Thomas Jones and Julius Jones, each topping 100 yards and each scoring at least one touchdown. Thomas Jones with the Jets, 2 touchdowns, and Julius 1 in Seattle's resounding win over the St. Louis Rams. Mike Bell, I mentioned, 143 yards, no touchdowns. Ray Rice hits the 100-yard mark, no touchdowns for him. So only 5 guys top the 100-yard mark, and only 2 guys, Adrian Peterson and Thomas Jones, I believe were the only 2 to reach the end zone more than once. One of the absolute craziest lines was Tim Hightower. 8 rushes, 15 yards. Disappointing effort. But in the receiving game, 12 catches for 121 yards for Tim Hightower. So, you know, the jury is still out with them. Tim Hightower and Beanie Wells in Arizona as far as who's going to get most of the rushing yards and rushing carries. But if Tim Hightower has more than 10 catches and more than 100 yards receiving in a game, boy, that raises definitely raises some questions as to exactly how he's going to be used. That's all good. Very good for him. So those were some of the running back notes. Also, Cadillac Williams, what a game for him. Cadillac Williams really battling injuries, knee tears on both knees, and he comes out and really has a dominant performance for them, for the Buccaneers. Derek Ward also had a good performance, scoring a touchdown for the Buccaneers. So definitely got a few things to look for there with the Buccaneers and the way that they are splitting carries this year. Let's go back to emails. Webradio@patriots.com is how you can chime in here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Tim from Chicopee, Mass. says, I have Joe Flacco on my fantasy team, and he scored me a bunch of points this last week. Will that keep up throughout the season? Tim, thanks for the email. I mentioned this earlier. I think Joe Flacco is going to have a better fantasy performance consistently this year than he did last year. You can't fault him for the season that he had. He had a good season for the Ravens, obviously, coming out of Delaware. But, you know, the numbers he had last week, I don't think he's going to keep that up 300 yards every single week. But if you've got him, stick with him. He might have some ups and downs. Stick with him, though, and, you know, it's more of a matchup thing. This week against San Diego, I don't know if it's going to be as smooth. I think San Diego in their home opener, I think highly of their defense. I think that he might struggle a little bit. Start him, play him. If you don't have a better option, but you know, you'll get some good games out of him, better than last year as far as fantasy goes, but it might not be exactly what you saw last week each and every week. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is where you can reach us. We're going to take a break and be back with the second half of the show right after this.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules.
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe. You can check me out on Patriots Today every day, Monday through Friday here on Patriots.com, along with Christina Acra and doing Fantasy Radio from 4 to 5 Eastern every single Thursday. Make sure you check us out. Tell everybody you know who plays fantasy football to check out the Fantasy Lowdown right here on Patriots.com Radio. We're getting to your emails, webradio at Patriots.com. We've gotten to a few, and we've got more as well. And 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We're going to go to the phone right now. In fact, John from L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Brian. I'm calling to get some advice.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. How do I emotionally cope with the fact that some asshat just beat me in fantasy football with Hasselbeck throwing to Carlson versus me having Rivers to Gates against Oakland?
Gee, who's that asshat?
What'd
you call? You know what? That's a little harsh, don't
you
think?
No, I'm joking.
No, I know you are.
That was a nice bit of work you did.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Matt Hasselbeck was a guy who I think highly of going into this season, but specifically week one, and I talked about this on the show last week, against St. Louis. He's always done really well against St. Louis. I think he's got a really good array of wideouts, and I just felt this was a good matchup for them to get back on track. I think that offense is going to return to form, and that was a matchup one for me. I think I'll definitely have some decisions on my hand each week because I have Matt Ryan and Matt Hasselbeck, the two BC quarterbacks, and so I'm not sure if Matt Hasselbeck's going to be my guy every week. You know, they play San Fran this week. I'm pretty sure, right? Yeah, Seattle, San Fran. So I'm going to consider it again, but sorry to beat you so handily.
I can't believe how little I got from Rivers and Gates this week. I actually think Oakland's got quite a good defense. But That was pathetic.
Well, that was a disappointment. And both of these Monday night games, you know, the team, the home team, or, I'm sorry, not the home team, the team that was supposed to win handily didn't win handily. They both ended up winning. But, yeah, I mean, San Diego, that was a disappointing effort. I think really on all fronts, Rivers, Tomlinson, Gates, way too early to give up on any of those guys. And, you know, San Diego playing Baltimore this week, it's going to be another tough matchup for them. But, you know, you're probably going to feel positive after more weeks than you'll feel negative with those guys.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. I just want to call and congratulate you.
Well, listen, I appreciate you calling.
I want to be a man about it.
I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate that. And I did have a pretty good week. I was happy with a few of the decisions I made. Good luck to you this week, and just remember, at some point you're going to play Jason, and you'll be able to beat him handily.
Hope so.
Just don't worry about that.
All right, thank you.
All right,
John.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling, John. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. As you can tell, if you're new to it, we do have a PFW fantasy leagues around here with the guys from Patriots Football Weekly, Paul Perillo, these guys, myself, Jason. We are all involved, and we've got we had our drafts a couple weeks ago, and it's really fun to do it with a lot of you guys who listen in and call in. You know, toss different ideas around and advice. I mean, we're competitors, but hey, you know, we're all in this together. It's fun. So as you know, in this past week, you know, I beat John. It was 107-72. And like we said, Matt Hasselbeck was a guy that I really felt strongly about, and he offered me he gave me 25 points, which was just a massive output. And then John Carlson caught two of his passes, touchdown passes, so 21 points from him. My other big performers for the week were Derek Ward, who had 14 points, and D'Angelo Williams with 13. I didn't get much out of Andre Johnson, not giving up on him, but didn't get much out of him, didn't get much out of Ted Ginn Jr. Green Bay's defense, however, performed well, four interceptions off of Jay Cutler. Now, John's team, SI Outtakes is what he calls himself, Ben Roethlisberger, 16 points. So really not too bad. I mean, if you get 16 points from your quarterback, that's not a terrible outing. He had 11 points from Ray Rice, who topped 100 yards, but you know, didn't have a touchdown. So he kind of struggled in the touchdown category. Calvin Johnson, Terrell Owens, Matt Forte, guys who you know, didn't quite reach the end zone or have massive games that you might expect. Greg Olsen was probably a disappointment for him as well. You figure with Jay Cutler looking at Greg Olsen, that would be a good output, but it didn't quite happen that way. So very entertaining first week. I'm happy to be 1-0. We got 12 teams in our league. So, you know, I'm in the middle of the pack among the 1-0 teams as far as points. So we'll see what comes up in week two. Back to the emails. This is Kenneth. Wrote last week with some low-end running back questions in my freebie league where I had managed Tom Brady. Now I've got some questions about my other, more meaningful league. Number one, Philip Rivers plays the Ravens and has a weak O-line. Jason Campbell plays the Rams and needs to prove himself. I own both. Is it a bad move to start Campbell over Rivers this week? Well, I'll tell you what, Kenneth, that's a great question right there. Jason Campbell's name came up earlier in terms of should you start Jason Campbell or Kurt Warner. And in my opinion, Kurt Warner, no, you definitely start Kurt Warner, and they play Arizona this week. Now, Jason Campbell against the Rams, Philip Rivers against the Ravens, a little more of an even one. That's a very tough question right there. I bring up Greg Rosenthal from rotoworld.com very often, and sometimes when we got these just, you know, tough questions, you know, to answer, I like going to his rankings, and his rankings usually come out on Thursday. He's got Philip Rivers seven spots ahead of Jason Campbell. I'd still lean toward Philip Rivers in this case. Jason Campbell against the Rams, you know, that's an appetizing possibility, but you know, Philip Rivers is a top five, top seven quarterback, and week two is too early to draw any conclusions. Granted, they play the Ravens. That's a tough D. I think you'd stick with Philip Rivers. You know, it's one of those where if Jason Campbell is a huge outing and Philip Rivers doesn't, are you going to be kicking yourself? Yes, but go with the better quarterback at this point. Go with the better quarterback. Go with Philip Rivers over Jason Campbell. But if you're someone who has Jason Campbell as a guy, as an option to start in a lesser number two option, I think Jason Campbell, this is a pretty good week among many. You know, over the course of a season, you're not going to have a lot of weeks where you really want to start Jason Campbell. This could be one of them. Question number two from Kenneth. I've got both Michael Turner and Ronnie Brown on the same team, and they combined last week for a total of under 10 fantasy points. Please tell me I can expect better this week. You know what? I've got Michael Turner on one of my teams as well, and obviously I was very disappointed. I was able to win in that league, but I do think Michael Turner is going to be a guy you can bank on most weeks. He plays Carolina this week, not a good defensive team this season. Expect much better from Michael Turner for sure. And, you know, as far as Ronnie Brown, As far as Ronnie Brown goes, Miami plays Indianapolis. That's right, on Monday Night Football. I was wondering why I didn't see him on my Sunday schedule. They play Indianapolis. You know, I don't know what to expect too much there. I think you start him. You'll expect better. Put it this way. Your question was, can I expect better this week? The answer to that, put it simply, is yes. Definitely on Michael Turner. Not quite as confident in Ronnie Brown, but you'll get more than 10 fantasy points combined out of them. Kenneth's question number three, is it too early to put Percy Harvin above Braylon Edwards? Hey, we all have a weak spot on our fantasy team. And start the Viking instead of the Brown. Percy Harvin or Braylon Edwards? Well, as far as the matchups go, you know, Minnesota going up against Detroit, that's an appetizing matchup for really any of the Minnesota skill position players. And as far as Braylon Edwards going into Denver, you know, Denver, I don't think all that highly of Denver as a team, but you know, they held Cincinnati, who I think is going to be a decent offensive team, to just one touchdown late in the game. Not sold on Brady Quinn. In my opinion, in this week, I'm going Harvin over Edwards. I don't believe that Greg Rosenthal agrees with me on that one. I think he's got Percy Harvin fairly low down his list and Braylon Edwards high. Very disappointed in Edwards, his drops and all that. Don't think much of him this week. You know, Kenneth, if I had to make a decision, I could see Percy Harvin breaking out a little bit this week. Go with Harvin. Kenneth, thank you for your emails. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Looking at some of the wide receiver performances from week one, Reggie Wayne, 10 catches, 162 yards, and a score was really the number one guy. Santonio Holmes got it started last week pretty well, 9 catches, 131 yards, and a score. Patrick Creighton, his 80-yard touchdown reception helped boost his total, only 4 catches, but 135 yards. Randy Moss, 12 catches, was one of the top receivers in the league, 141 yards. So really, as far as catches and yards, right up there at or near the top. Did not reach the end zone, though, so certainly that's a tough one to deal with if you're banking on touchdowns for him. Wes Welker, 12 catches, 93 yards. Other 100-yard receiving games, Greg Jennings, 106 and a touchdown. Devery Henderson, 103 and a touchdown for those guys. Jennings catching one long touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, and Henderson certainly part of the mix, well in the mix in New Orleans. So you had to like what you saw out of the Saints going against Detroit. Let's check out a little bit of what Matthew Berry has to say, the talented Mr. Roto on ESPN.com. One of his topics this week is just talking about those guys who, after week one, that you try to jump, you know, guys who had strong week ones that might be available in your league. And he looks back at last year. Last year, after week one, among the guys who were available pretty much in most, if not all, leagues, who turned out to have very successful seasons, Matt Castle, we can start right there, right here in New England. You know, once we knew Tom Brady would be out and Matt Castle would be the guy, he was definitely worth taking a chance on because of the weapons he had, and he turned out that he certainly did pan out. Eddie Royal, certainly another one. Steve Slayton, another one. So quarterback, running back, wide receiver right there. Those are guys that you certainly were excited to pick up. And so the question is, who from this year after week one should you really go after? My opinion in general is don't go crazy on big-time week one performers unless it's because of long-term injury to the guy that he's replacing. In other words, Matt Castle last year, yeah, we knew Tom Brady wouldn't be coming back. Go with him. Kevin Kolb, no. I wouldn't go with him. Guys who had big week one performances that you just don't know if they're going to last, you know, Mike Bell. I mean, Mike Bell might have another good week in him, but between Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush, I don't know if Mike Bell's a guy I'm going to really spend a large part of my free agent budget if you're a free agent money league, or, you know, cut a guy who has a lot of promise, a deep sleeper. I don't know if I'm going to do that after week one. After week two or three, maybe. So that was interesting. Here's what Matthew Berry has to say, however, about Mike Bell. He's here because, yes, he will have value once Pierre Thomas comes back. The best example I can give is Derek Ward last season. Like, he'll get 10 to 15 touches a game and be a legitimate flex option in 12-team leagues. I still have Thomas finishing the year as a top 15 fantasy running back, but I'd rather have Bell than Reggie Bush, who in a blowout passing game against Detroit and with Thomas out, got all of 12, count them, 12 touches. So Matthew Berry definitely thinks that Mike Bell is a guy to keep in mind, not just this week, but all through the season. He could be a pretty good flex option. That's what he says there. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Josh in Vermont chimes in. Brian, I need to start two of the following receivers. Okay, he lists four here. Roy Williams versus Dallas. I think you mean Roy Williams of Dallas versus New York. Santana Moss versus St. Louis. Derek Mason versus San Diego. Devery Henderson versus Philadelphia. I'm thinking Moss is a no-brainer because it's St. Louis. Roy Williams, this is Josh talking. I'm thinking Moss is a no-brainer because it's St. Louis. Roy Williams did great for me, but I'm worried Dallas will shut him down. And I really don't know about the other two. I also have Welker, but he's definitely starting. Josh in Vermont. Josh, as far as Roy Williams is concerned, not sure if you're a little confused there on you know who he's playing. Roy Williams of Dallas playing against New York. That is a matchup that I would be worried about. You know, I don't think that Tony Romo is going to keep it up. What he did against Tampa Bay, I think, was not going to be the norm, close to 400 yards and three touchdowns. I think Roy Williams, of your four there, you know, you might, I might be worried as well. I like your thinking on Santana Moss going up against St. Louis. We were just talking about Jason Campbell, and, you know, Santana Moss is a guy who, you know, you're going to want to start him most weeks. He's still, you know, maybe not an elite receiver, but he's certainly second tier, and in a week like this where they go up against St. Louis, he could be on the receiving end, along with maybe Antoine Randall-El, of some Jason Campbell passes, and you never know if he can get into the end zone. Derek Mason against San Diego, I like, I don't love. And Devery Henderson against Philadelphia, I think you might want to stay with Henderson. You know, Henderson is a guy who, catching passes from Drew Brees, not every week is going to be like Detroit, but Philadelphia, good defense. I think they'll struggle against against New Orleans. I'd probably go with Devery Henderson and Santana Moss. Those would probably be my two. Moss being close enough to a no-brainer. Derek Mason against San Diego. You know, we've touched on Joe Flacco and Mark Clayton. You know, I just don't think they're going to be a week-to-week team as far as receiving yardage. You might want to stick with the matchup there. So, Devery Henderson, when in doubt, go with a New Orleans wide receiver like Colston or Henderson, and Lance Moore to a little bit of a lesser extent. So, of your four there, Josh, I'm going Moss and Henderson. Good luck in those decisions, and definitely see how that pans out. I'll be keeping that in mind as the week moves on. What did I want to get to here? A couple other notes that I had. Where are my notes? A couple other notes I had. Indianapolis's wide receiver situation. They lose Anthony Gonzalez, and that will tie into the next email that we have in a moment. They lose Anthony Gonzalez to an injury. He's going to be out for 6 to 7 weeks. And, you know, last year, you know, he still had Marvin Harrison, obviously Reggie Wayne, and Anthony Gonzalez sort of coming into his own and maybe being groomed to be the guy who, when Marvin Harrison is off that team, which he is now, is the number two guy to Reggie Wayne. I think very highly of Anthony Gonzalez. I thought highly of him coming into the season, so that's quite a hit. And they've got a couple of guys, two guys, Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley. Colley is a rookie. Pierre Garçon has been around for a little while, you know, a couple of years, or maybe last year was his rookie year, but much more unknowns than we're used to seeing in the Indianapolis receiving unit. Hank Basket, I believe, is a guy that they're going to be signing. If that hasn't happened already, I certainly saw that, saw some rumors about that this week or in these last couple of days. So Pierre Garçon, Austin Colley, these are guys who I would take a chance on. I would take a chance probably more so on Austin Colley, guy they drafted this year. But these are guys I'd take a chance on because it's still Peyton Manning offense. It's still the Colts. They still have a good passing game, and they're not all going to go to Reggie Wayne. Take a chance on these guys, especially in the meantime while Anthony Gonzalez is out, which ties into the next email from Tracy. B, I'm also new at fantasy football, and yes, I am the big loser of your league. Tracy, don't worry about it. It's only week one. Anyway, I'm kind of thin at wide receiver. Meacham, Holt, the Giants, Steve Smith, and Anthony Gonzalez. Should I hold on to Anthony Gonzalez despite his injury? FYI, my tight ends are Antonio Gates and Kevin Boss. Definitely hold on to Anthony Gonzalez as of right now. If it's 5 or 7 weeks, you know, that's enough. Anthony Gonzalez might not be elite, but he's up there. He's a guy who, when healthy, you're going to want to start most weeks. You're probably going to want to start him most weeks. Don't get rid of him unless, you know, you have a stunning upset as far as a guy that you can pick up off the waiver wire. You have pretty good tight ends, Antonio Gates and Kevin Boss. You might be able to hold down the fort as far as the receiving. You're definitely going to want to look into other wide receivers to bolster your core there of Meacham, Holt, Smith, and Gonzalez. You're going to need someone. I'm not going to discuss with you who's available in our league because I don't want to give you any tips there, Tracy, but don't get rid of Anthony Gonzalez. If you do, I will snatch him up. If you get rid of him, I will snatch him up. So don't get rid of him quite yet, Tracy, but thanks for emailing in, and good luck to you in the week and in the weeks ahead in the league. Timothy from Chicopee chimes in again. We heard from him earlier in the show. He asked us about Joe Flacco. Here's what he says. I have a few teams and a few questions to be answered. On one team, I have Brian Westbrook, Chester Taylor, Derek Ward, and Fred Taylor, and two open spots. So which two do I start? Westbrook, Chester Taylor, Derek Ward, and Fred Taylor. Overwhelmingly, none of them really stand out. Westbrook is certainly a guy you're going to want to start. I mean, he's a must-start, let's be honest. Unless and until he gets hurt, you keep Brian Westbrook with one of those two spots. Fred Taylor, of course, is a very interesting one. You know, he scores a touchdown here last week. The Patriots running game did not have a great game, and Taylor's yardage wasn't tremendous, but he scored the touchdown, which is good. I just don't think with these Patriots running backs that there's a guy we can bank on week in, week out. Certainly it's not Sammy Morris. Lawrence Maroney showed some really good flashes early on, but you keep on waiting for that breakthrough performance. Fred Taylor's probably the most likely guy to have good fantasy performances, but I just don't see it being week to week. I think Derek Ward's your guy. I think Derek Ward is your guy there as far as number two going up against Buffalo. I think that Tampa Bay is going to be struggling this year. Let me just see. Chester Taylor, is an interesting one. And especially if they go up big against Detroit, he could get more carries. But I'd lean toward Brian Westbrook and Derek Ward among those guys there, Timothy. You got some intriguing options, though. You got some intriguing options. Derek Ward did score a touchdown in that game the other day. So he's a guy you're going to want to think about week in and week out. I go Westbrook and Ward. Those are the two I'd start. Number two question from you, back to Joe Flacco in that same league. I was lucky enough to get Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger. Who do I start? I like them both, but I'm high on both San Diego's and Chicago's defenses. What do you think? Tim, I think you're going a little overboard in there and saying you're lucky to get Flacco and Roethlisberger. These are two guys who are middle of the pack fantasy guys at best. So don't think you got it made there at quarterback. They're not bad options, but I'm not sold on Ben Roethlisberger to put it together fantasy wise week in and week out. And same with Flacco. As far as this week, Roethlisberger at Chicago, and like you said, Flacco against San Diego. I'd lean toward Roethlisberger in this case. I'd lean toward Roethlisberger, more established. I think they're similar, Flacco and Roethlisberger, in terms of what kind of output they'll have this year. So going by matchups is going to be good. Neither one of them is a guy you're going to want to say, he's my starter every week. Go with Roethlisberger in this case. If you can upgrade over the course of the season, though, package Roethlisberger or Flacco and, maybe a number two or three running back and really, really improve at quarterback, that's something you might want to look into. So lucky enough to have Flacco and Roethlisberger, I just don't know if I'd feel all that lucky to have both. That's just my opinion there, Tim. Go with Roethlisberger and good luck with your questions. What do you got, Jay?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Looked like you had something to say there. Have you been tweaking your fantasy lineup? I mean, 4-5. This is your time to.
I've been doing
adjust.
I've been preoccupied with other issues.
Oh, other issues. Okay, other issues. Well, make sure you get to that lineup. I'll be getting to that lineup too. I should probably really take a close look at some of the big question marks I have on who to start and who to sit myself. And the big one that I'm going to be going with, have to deal with every week, like I mentioned earlier, is my two BC quarterbacks, Matt Ryan. And Matt Hasselbeck, and I think we're going to be looking at matchups. I think more highly of Hasselbeck than a lot of people do. This week, he's going against San Francisco. Ryan is going against Carolina. I'm leaning towards Matt Ryan. You got to lean toward Matt Ryan in that case. But I think Hasselbeck could have another big performance against San Francisco. But Ryan's at home against a Carolina defense that's really struggling. Hasselbeck's going to be on the road against a San Francisco team coming off a big win. So you know, this might be one of those matchup situations where Matt Ryan is the guy I lean toward most likely. At wide receiver, my options are Andre Johnson, Marcus Colston. I really feel like these are two guys that I probably won't ever want to sit. But as I say that, I've got Bernard Berrien, who's going up against Detroit. And if he's healthy, you know, he's a guy I might want to slide in there for Andre Johnson, because Andre Johnson goes against Tennessee. But, you know, like I've been saying a couple times, way too early to sit a guy like Andre Johnson or a guy like Marcus Colston. I'm not going to do that. They're both going to be in my lineup. But I definitely have some interesting options there. At running back, D'Angelo Williams, another guy, my first-round pick, going up against Atlanta. I'm not sitting him. Then at running back, I've got some interesting choices between Darren McFadden going against Kansas City. I got Derek Ward going against Buffalo. And I got LeSean McCoy against New Orleans. We have a flex slot as well. D'Angelo Williams, Darren McFadden are probably the guys I'm going to start. They're probably the guys I'm going to start week in and week out. At tight end, John Carlson. You know, someone's got to catch Hasselbeck's passes, and that might be a way to hedge my bet a little bit with that Seattle offense. You know, if Hasselbeck, if I don't feel confident or too comfortable starting him over Ryan this week, at least John Carlson, who had a strong week one there, I could start him. Bo Scaife is my other tight end. He's a guy I'm probably going to get rid of. Didn't do much for me and got hurt as well. Defense is where I've got some decisions to make on, do I bring in another defense? I've got Green Bay, who almost a bit of a sleeper defense to me this year. Strong week one. They go up against Cincinnati, which had a terrible offensive performance in week one. So I'll probably stick with them, but I definitely have to look into what other defenses are available. So for those of you listening who are in our league, you know, keep that in mind. There's a little bit of my strategy, giving you a little some hints into my strategy.
And I may be shopping for running backs.
You may be shopping for running backs. So what are you saying? We might want to work out a trade?
We might be able to talk.
Oh, we could talk.
I might have a backup quarterback you might be interested in.
I don't need a backup quarterback.
Then maybe somebody else in our league might.
I got Matt Ryan and Matt Hasselbeck. I got two good options.
Eli Manning.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. A couple other notes that I saw as I was preparing, just some updated information. Antonio Bryant of the Buccaneers. Bucs coach Raheem Morris hinted that Bryant would miss Sunday's game. He's got a knee injury, so that's an interesting one to look into. The Cleveland running back situation. Browns, you got Jerome Harrison with a knee injury, Jamal Lewis with a stinger, James Davis with a shoulder injury. You don't get excited about any of these guys, but with all of them banged up, you know, how are they going to split up those carries? I'd probably stay away from any of them this week. And then no Sean Moreno. Broncos coach Josh McDaniels wants to get no Sean Moreno, Eddie Royal, and Brandon Marshall more touches this week, but he said there's no urgency to do so. This from rotoworld.com. Quote, I really don't buy into forcing the ball. I think you get into problems. I think that creates turnovers. So basically, we talked about no Sean Moreno earlier, and the advice is probably to hold off on him for one more week, see if he and the other rookie running backs, Donald Brown, for one, and Beanie Wells in Arizona, see if they can get on track a little bit and produce the kind of output that last year's rookie running backs did. We're wrapping up this edition of the Fantasy Lowdown for Week 2. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and I like to give that out at the end of the show because, like I always say, email us at any point during the week. Like Sunday night, you're watching games, you have a big injury, who do you start, who do you pick up? You know, send an email right then and there, and you know, we can't get to it till Thursday, but you know, send us an email at any time. We appreciate everyone who does email in. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. So we've got big decisions ahead as we look at our fantasy lineups for this week. Jason and I both do. I'm 1-0. Jason's 0-1. He wants to get off the schneid. I want to continue a good streak to start it off. We will see you next week right here, Thursday at 4 o'clock, for the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.